a very good morning to you. Mary Fagan here with you this morning on Horizons. On the program, we have the theme of vocations running through. I chat with newly ordained deacon Sean Murphy on the way to priesthood. I chat with 67-year-old Eamon Salmon, also on the way to priesthood. And I talk to Sister Karen Kent. In addition, we draw your attention to the Lourdes Novena, which is running at the moment, and the consultation process that's beginning right across the diocese. First up, Reverend Sean Murphy. Reverend Sean Murphy, thank you very much for joining me this morning on Horizons.
Thank you, Mary. It's good to be here.
Sean, you were ordained to the diaconate last Sunday, so congratulations.
Thank you.
You've been working away and studying very quietly in the background for the priesthood. How have you managed to be so discreet in your studies?
Well, I suppose you kind of go along the way bit by bit. I suppose respect comes into it as well, you know, for a part of the journey, which is nice. You know, so I suppose now I'm a public figure, whereas I suppose it's respect to the student for discernment whether they want to stay in or stay out, which is good.
So you mean that you think it's nice not to have too much attention till you get to a stage like this, for example, when you are a deacon?
Yeah, it's nice to know that there's seminarians there studying along, but I suppose some students appreciate a bit of, especially at the beginning, we'll say, you know, when they're discerning, will I, won't I, will I, won't I? But I suppose as you go along, you're saying, I will, I will, I will. And the big I am was last Sunday. So,
congratulations again. How did it go?
It went very well, yeah. So we were working, I suppose, in the backgrounds for that as well, with the choir since October. So a big thank you to the choir who put a lot of work in, and Father Kieran O'Sullivan as well, my parish priest. So to say that he was working in the background, was, you know, he was doing more than the background. He had everything sorted and ready for us. So.
And you were ordained in Glenbay Church, we should say. Had you put a choir together specially for it, or is there a choir already there in the parish?
Well, I suppose the choir was set up again after COVID. There was a big drive, and I suppose the ordination was in sight, I suppose, in one sense.
And just the music that you chose?
Yeah, the music I chose was, I suppose, kind of had the Irish feel to it, I suppose, like Faithful is the Lord our King, same tune as Magilla Mar, and then Sean O'Riordan's Mass parts, and then Father Pat O'Hearn's Crease Lum. So I had one of my women from Glencare, Kathleen McCann, sing that. So it was lovely to have that connection with our sisters as well. So.
And Sean, do you feel different now?
I'm still Sean anyway, so I didn't feel too much different until going up to the Ambo and the Lord be with you, you know, to preach the gospel. So you feel a change. And I suppose baptisms and funerals and all that, you know, being a different role, I suppose that's when I'll feel the change.
So you're happy that everything went well on Sunday?
Yeah, I was very happy with it.
Sean, this is the year of vocations. What would you say to encourage other young men to take an interest in the priesthood and begin the route?
The phrase for this year is take the risk for Christ. I don't know, there's maybe a certain amount of risk in it, but I suppose as you're going bit by bit, remember the phrase, do not be afraid. So I think the first part is just actually talking to somebody like I did with Sister Canisius.
Sister Canisius supported you the whole way along.
I remember I wrote a letter to Sister Canisius as a religion project. At the end of it, she said, who knows, there could be a place for you in Rome. Now, I'm not in Rome, but Kerry Diocese is just as good for me. Thinking back to last Sunday, and there was part of it, after inquiry among the people of God and those concerned with his training, I testify that he has been found worthy. So it's from the people of God that priest comes, you know, and it's from the community. We don't just drop from heaven or anything like that. So very normal people going for, you know, when you get to know a priest, any of the priests of the diocese, they're normal people. So
people give out, oh, we've no priest, or we've lost a priest. Mm. Where are we to get the priest? They have to come from the community.
Prayer is a big part of it. You know, St. Joseph's Young Priest Society, they do so much work. even asking that simple question, do you want to be a priest? Would you like to be a priest? With that question and a bit of prayer, who knows?
We are really appreciative of priests and of people going, trying that journey, because it's a long journey.
Yeah, you're not stuck when you go in the door. If you go into Maynooth or the first year in Spain, if you leave, you leave. You know, there's no pressure like there was maybe one time. It's discernment. So you're working your way along saying, is God calling me to priesthood or is he calling me to a different vocation?
So Sean, that's the word you'd say. You'd ask people, do you want to be a priest?
Yeah, would you think about it even?
Would you think about it?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you, Deacon Sean Murphy. We'll find out a little bit more about Sean Murphy another morning.
Thanks.
A favourite of Sean's, Foom Lee.
The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The sky shows forth the work of his hands. Day unto day takes up the story, and night unto night makes known the message. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The sky shows forth the work of his hands. No speech, no
Kent, thanks very much for joining us this morning on Horizons.
Thank you, Mary.
And Sister Karen, I just want to get your reaction to the programmes of the last priests in Ireland, the last nuns in Ireland, to see what your thoughts are as a sister. Did you see them?
I did, Mary. I did. I watched both programmes and the upfront interviews from Katie Hannon after the last priests programme was on.
What did you think?
I thought the priests, it was fair. It gave a range, an age range, ministry range, that told a story. Whether we're the last, who knows? That's in God's hands. So I didn't particularly like the title. And I think somehow it can give the impression that church is just about whether we've got priests in ministry and young priests. Whereas we're all church and priests serve in the community where they're assigned. And so something in the title didn't sit with me, but it's media. It's the way they put the title out there. It gets the attention.
You didn't like the title?
Not really.
No, but that's the way of pulling them in, as you
said. It is. It is the way the media will get a response from people. I felt that some of the younger priests spoke exceedingly well about their life. And I would credit Father Vincent Stapleton from Turles and the way he spoke about the challenge of celibacy and the life he's living. And I just felt they all spoke very well about their life and that there are challenges. It's not perfect. None of us are perfect. And we all do our best every day. When I watched The Last Nuns, I was disappointed. I felt it didn't give a full picture of life of sisters today. That apart from the opening with the sisters in Drogheda in the Siena convent, the enclosed sisters, it only spoke to leadership or past leadership, and it was all about everything that had gone wrong. It didn't come and talk to any younger sisters who are out in ministry today. Anyone who'd entered in the last 35 years was omitted completely from the program. So I suppose from that sense, while there aren't huge numbers of us, we are there. There was no voice of that coming through.
So Karen, how are you finding it then, being there, working in ministry, in this culture?
It's never easy, because you're trying to keep, as I call it, the rumour of God alive for people in different places. And so I'm here in Tralee at the moment. And, you know, we do a lot of work with families, particularly around the times of sacramental preparation. And you just hope that something touches into the hearts of some parents and children. And that's as much as you can do. You're not going to change the world. It's one at a time.
And you obviously feel, Karen, that it is worth dedicating your life to this in order to keep that rumour alive.
Yes, I suppose we're all gifted. When we choose to join a religious congregation, you choose, well, I chose, based on the inspiring story of one woman who made the foundation back in 1535, who wanted to make a difference to family life in the town where she was living. That was her sole purpose. She never saw this growing into a worldwide Ursuline congregation. She just saw that it was possible to make a difference in her time, in her place, where she was. And that's what it grew into. And I think that's what makes the difference, that our commitment is first of all to a relationship with God. And that's the relationship we bring to who we are into the world in which we live and work, and the people whom we live and work among. And if we can bring something of that into the hearts and minds of other people, that for me is enough. Do you know, I don't want to count numbers or how many people said, oh, I'm changed because. I just want to see, can we offer something that God has something to say to us today? It's as simple as that.
And we talk to a lot of people, though, about the current culture and how, you know, there are diminishing numbers in priesthood, in sisterhood. Does it ever get you down, Karen, that the numbers aren't there to support you?
Some days you wish that there was more, that you could see younger people coming behind you. But we take heart, you know, this year. In Ireland, there's been people entering, there's been first professions of vows, final professions of vows have happened, but they don't make headlines. Do you know, I remember my own final profession, and I was in Cork, it was back in 2006, and I was on RTE the following week because it was such a strange thing to hear about. The Times did an interview, but, you know... And it wasn't that we went looking for that. It was just that it was heard about as happening and that was it. But I think, you know, we do our best to put the good news stories out there. But media prefers the bad news story. And it's all about there aren't people, there aren't sisters, you know. It isn't about a crisis of numbers. There are more sisters in Ireland now than there were 200 years ago. There are more priests than there were 200 years ago. We live out of kind of a glitch in the 40s, 50s, 60s where there were big numbers entering. And that was not the norm. When we came to Ireland back in 1771 as Ursuline sisters, there were four. Do you know? And they were the first to open a school for girls, to educate girls in penal times in Cork. So you just look at the difference that a few could make. So it's never about numbers.
What is it about, Karen?
It's about touching into the hearts and offering something that people may or may not say yes to. But it's the how we offer it and whether we're getting a response, you know. And sometimes you think, oh, do I have to get up and do this again? We got no response yesterday. But you keep going. It's God's work that we do, not mine. It's God who empowers me to go out and to be who I am amongst the people.
Sister Karen Kent, thank you for tackling this question with me this morning and sharing your ideas. Well done. Moving east now in the diocese. Father Pat O'Donnell, thank you very much for joining me.
You're welcome, Mary. Nice to see you.
And it's lovely to see you. And you have special stuff coming up in Knocknagree, in Rathmore. Tell us what's on.
We have indeed. We have the Knocknagree Novena to Our Lady of Lourdes, which began last night with, as usual, Father Bill Radley. Bill, as you know, was the director of Lourdes for many years, and he likes to start us off.
It's lovely.
The Novena began 22 years ago.
Wow.
Martin Sheehan started it off. And he has a wonderful troupe that still work at it to this day. They put in a lovely, lovely grotto. You'd think you were in Lourdes. And it's actually spectacular the way they do it.
You nearly have to do nothing, Pat.
Oh, not a thing. I'm only here to promote it for those who do the real work. And they even, last year, they have a feed, a screen directly from Lourdes as well.
Beautiful. And it goes on for a number of nights.
It goes on.
It's on tonight again.
Yes, it's on tonight. Tonight, actually, the theme is love one another. That idea, you know, that we need not to forget what it means to give love in a Christian context, particularly in today's world. Tomorrow night, we'll have Monsignor Dan Hilly with Mary of Nagael, Bridget. And then we have Father Dinis O'Mahony, and I know Dinis is talking about feeding the hungry. Particularly, I think he brings his experience from Kenya. Father Jim Lennon will bring his own inimitable spirituality and a great sincerity, and I'm delighted that we've got Jim this year. First time we've got him, and it'll be great to have him. And we have Father Tom Looney, who is well known to them all.
What a lineup!
I'm telling you.
That's absolutely great.
And then I think this year is slightly different, and the 11th is a Sunday. So the Sunday evening, we have a prayer service with a healing for the sick on the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes and World Day of the Sick.
So really, people should flood there, really, because it is a lovely experience.
And if they're flooding, they got to flood early, because usually it's quite full, and there's a lovely group there. The Saturday nights are at 7:30. And all the others are at 8 p.m. We'd love to see you all there and love to add to our growing numbers every year.
It's great to have you here in the studio, Pat, to tell us about it.
Thank you.
It's almost like a novelty to get you out of.
Oh, yeah.
Rathmore, you're a very busy man.
The people from the east stay in the east, you know. That's where the wise men, we only come down to follow the star every now and then.
Well, delighted to have you here.
Aye.
And I hope that the Novena continues to go very well for the week.
And Mary, thank you for all your work you do on the Horizons, which really help us to promote. And as you said, rightly, to support the work of those volunteers on the ground who do all the work.
Father Pat O'Donnell, thank you very much.
Take care, Mary. Thank you.
After the break, I chat with a 67-year-old man shortly to be ordained into priesthood.